Yes, yes, yes. This is Aaron Frazier on the block again. I'm out here with an extraordinary gentleman named Ian, and he has been talking to some brothers around here about knowledge and consciousness and trying to raise vibes, and it's still going on right now, and the teaching is getting greater and greater. We have a lot of brothers here that are from the tribe of Judah, and they know their history, they know their lineage, and basically we're here in a conversation talking about you know, elevation right now. And I have Ian with me right now. Ian, say hi.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Ian.
All right, all right. Now, just about what you were just talking about, you know, just break it down a little bit and just tell the world exactly your perspective of our elevation.
Okay, at the moment I was talking about the one danger to it, which I'm not trying to come off in a negative way, but that was where I was in the previous conversation. And what it was is we were given a warning in Torah. We were shown how, I won't mention names, but a king had hired a magi to curse Israel. And Hashem Almighty, El Elyon, came and stopped that magi. And the donkey spoke to him. An angel was there present and told him, you will not curse Israel. And when he got up on the mountaintop and the king was right there, he blessed Israel. And the king was very upset. They went to another corner facing a different direction, and he blessed Israel once more. And then a third time he blessed Israel. Now the king's not going to spend any more money on this. He sees where it's going and he gives up. But later on, if you watch, you'll see that the enemies of Israel told, bring your daughters in with their idols. It was the same magi who gave that information. Now, what was the purpose? It was to cause division, to bring everyone to a lower elevation, to worship those idols, to get away from looking at the one true God. Now, that lesson was given to us right there, because what he was saying is, if you assimilate them, if you make them like us, the lower vibration, they won't go any higher. Division will grow amongst them like it's grown amongst the people around you. And then you can conquer them. So everywhere Israel is gone, assimilation has occurred, and it is to be avoided. It is to be avoided. If you become like them, you'll be numb like them. Okay?
Yeah.
That's where I was going with
that. All right, all right. And that is, woo, great information. Now, on the real, tell me, what's the solution? How do we fix this problem?
If you focus on El Elyon, the Most High, and then you do your work, bringing the light to the other nations. First, focus on El Elyon, and then do your work.
What if people are so low in their vibration and they can't attach and can't remember where they came from and who their creator is? What do they do then?
Man, that is the assistance that they need to be given. If they cannot make that, and they can make that attachment, but if they cannot make that attachment on their own, that is our job. He told us over and over again, you will be a light to other nations. And that's what it means. That's what it means.
What if they don't believe that you are the light? And when you talk to them, they don't allow your light to shine on them, and they're putting up those veils and those blocks. What do you do then?
You talk to them and you find the experiences in their life where they have touched the light themselves. You figure it out. You listen to them. Listen, listen. And Hashem will make it come out of their mouths at some point. And when you acknowledge that and you say, but what happened then for you? And you touch that. That was it. And you let them know what it was then. Say, you can do it again. You can do it again. Just give it a try and just try it more and more and more and see the results happen. Judge the tree by its fruits. Well, you need to water that tree. The Torah is water. It is life. That's what you need. That's what you need to drink from.
Fountain of life, living water. Woo! Here we go. Aaron on the block. Thank you, Ian. I certainly appreciate that. You know,
appreciate it.
That information right there is going to help a lot of people, and we're going to wake some people up, and we're just going to continue on, yeah, you know, continuing our mission and real subtly and peacefully. You know, we're not really trying to hurt anybody. We're just trying to help everybody. So, hey, thank you so much. And Aaron on the block will continue.
Very good.
That right there, being uncensored. In American media, it's very censored. It feels like an episode of Black Mirror a lot of times. So I've put myself across the line, the point of no, whatever they want about me. When I bring up the truth, they're going to say you didn't get enough sleep. It's because of your health. They're going to call me names for my truth. But these experiences that I'm telling you about are factually things that I've went through and things that I refuse to keep going through, and things that I'm not going to let my children go through, and things that I'm not going to let my peers go through. No pun intended.
Well, look, we are most certainly uncensored on this show, Ye. And I want to give you the time and the platform to really explain yourself, because I think that sometimes sound bites about people, perhaps taken out of context sometimes, can create a very distorted view of what a person really thinks. What do you think, looking back over the last few weeks in particular, what do you think have been the biggest misconceptions about you?
Well, I think there's a left agenda to silence anyone that goes against the agenda. Let's go back to Trump running for office back in 2015. Everyone that was around me in my industry, in the entertainment industry, told me that my life would be over. I would be on the wrong side of history. I've even had threats to my life for wearing the Trump hat. And it even ended up in, you know, destroying my family and also making it where I have to raise my children differently, because I actually am a person that's classified as Black. You know, I classify myself as Jew, but a person that's classified that had been given that title in America as Black, in America, that I'm supposed to stay in a block of a vote. You never heard the term white vote. So why is there a term Black vote? How is that okay? It sounds just as racist as a Black drinking fountain. And my dad, you know, called me and said, you know, the thing that the left fear about Ye or makes me the most dangerous is I'm rich. And that's the point. Tupac told me back in the days, you know, you had to get your money right and then you go to war. So I'm going to war. You know, I don't have endless resources. I only have like maybe, you know, honestly, only maybe $120 million in my account. But what I'm not going to let happen is I'm not going to let my kids take over Yeezy someday and have a boardroom telling them what to do and talking behind their back. I'm not going to let that happen to my children. So I have to fight right now. And the other powerful icons in Black music, when they were at the top of the game, they didn't fight at that point. They were too afraid of losing whatever they had. So by the time they wanted to make a difference, by the time Bill Cosby wanted to buy NBC, he didn't have the Cosby Show at that time to be able to stand up when they wanted to literally throw him in jail, you know, where they actually did throw him in jail. So people have to understand just the bravery. There's so many people everywhere. I know everyone can relate to being afraid to say what you're going to feel because you feel like you're going to, you know, you're going to lose something. So whether you agree with me or not, I believe people are going to feel the fact that someone is brave enough to say something. Every day I do 5 things that people have been historically killed for. Every day. And it's just, yo, I want to prove, first of all, I am Jew also. The 12 lost tribes of Hebrew. Do the math. Do your research on it. We have got our culture ripped from us and then told we were just simply void of color, which is another definition for Black. But if we knew we were a culture and knew we were a people the way the Jewish people know, then we wouldn't abort ourselves. We wouldn't shoot each other dead in the streets and then rap about it. We wouldn't brag about, you know, having sex with each other's wives. We would keep our families together and we would do business together. The most dangerous person for a most dangerous place for a Black person in America is actually in our mother's stomachs. Because 50% of Black deaths a year in America is abortion currently. I mean, I can keep going, but I want to make it, hey, boom, ask me questions. I don't want to jump in too much
because here's what I honestly think. I think you have an extraordinary mind. You have a number of extraordinary talents.
That America freed the slaves in 1863 through the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, but gave the slaves no land or nothing in reality, and as a matter of fact, to get started on. At the same time, America was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that there was a willingness to give the white peasants from Europe an economic base. And yet it refused to give its black peasants from Africa, who came here involuntarily in chains and had worked free for 244 years, any kind of economic base. And so emancipation for the Negro was really freedom to hunger. It was freedom to the winds and rains of heaven. It was freedom without food to eat or land to cultivate, and therefore it was freedom and famine at the same time. And when white Americans tell the Negro to lift himself by his own bootstraps, they don't look over the legacy of slavery and segregation. I believe we ought to do all we can and seek to lift ourselves by our own bootstraps. But it's a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And many Negroes, by the thousands and millions, have been left bootless as a result of all of these years of oppression and as a result of a society that deliberately made his color a stigma and something worthless and degrading.
When you stood on the Lincoln Memorial that day in August, 63, and you said, "I had a dream."
Well, I must confess that that dream that I had that day has at many points turned into a nightmare.
Yo, Pop, I've been having these problems lately, but I've still been moving forward. Let me know how you got through your situation.
I prayed to God every night. I still do that. I wanted God to know that even though I was going through the worst of times, I still recognized as being something greater than myself, and that I'm not going to give up my faith just because it's going bad for me, because he was there when I was living good. So I just wanted him to know that, you know, that I'm not no punk, that I'm not soft-hearted. If I'm going to get sad, I'm going to be like, oh, I don't believe in God no more. I believe in God all the time, every day, all day. Good and bad, rough and hard, five shots, jail time, everything. Good time, $1 million, tens, all that. I always believe in God because he gave it all to me.